I know many of you are probably like me in one sense, and that is that sometimes we can get so overwhelmed, so troubled, that when it comes time to pray, that perhaps we don't know what to say. But I know in our personal journey with my daughter that there have been times that we just had reached the end of our line, the end of our rope, and we said, we want to pray, but we just don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say because there's just so much that would burden us. And when we get to that point, it's still okay no matter what we say, but we would like to be able to frame our prayers sometimes. But be able to frame our prayers. People have asked me a lot, well, how is it that you pray? Well, the simple word is that prayer is a conversation between you and God. So there's not a right way, there's not a wrong way, but there is a way, and that way is to have that conversation with God. And we don't need to not pray because we don't know how to do it. Prayer is a conversation, it's personal, something that you have between you and God. And there's also what we call corporate prayer, which is your public prayer, to where perhaps you're praying the blessing over a meal. Or maybe you're at a friend or a family's house and you feel a need to pray and pray out loud. Or perhaps you're at a funeral or something. And when you're there without the preacher, then you don't have the default answer. Because no matter where you are, if there's a preacher there, people typically pick out the preacher and say, well, preacher, will you have this prayer for us? And that's okay. But it's also okay for you to pray out loud and to pray publicly. Even though there's some anxiety with it, you can still have those prayers. And what I'll offer up to you this morning is just a way, not the only way, but a way in which we can pray when we really don't know how to go about saying what we want to say. And it also, this model that I offer, also reminds us that prayer is more than just asking. Now the scripture that I offer to you this morning, we're going back to the Old Testament, is out of 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Now there's two directions that we can go with that scripture. One is on leadership, spiritual leadership, praying for discernment of good, bad, evil, and injustice. But the other is also a model of an encounter when we encounter the Lord, about how we can frame or shape that prayer or that encounter. So I invite you now to hear the words of 1 Kings chapter 3. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I should give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I will give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now I mentioned before, we talked about a scripture, that I'll offer up a model. And understand, I'm not saying that the way that we pray is wrong. Absolutely not. I'm offering up another way in which we can pray that we see through this encounter that Solomon has with God. Now, I find it interesting that the first thing that God says when he comes to Solomon is basically say, tell me what you need. Tell me what you need and I will give it to you. Imagine that encounter that we have with God when somebody, if God were to say, tell me what you need and I will give it to you. So what goes through your mind when we say that? I mean, my Lord, how many different things do I have that I need? So where would the list start if God said, tell me what you need and I will give it to you? Now to me, that's a little bit of a trap. Because we have the opportunity there to reveal, are we conformed to the world or are we conformed to the Word of God? So let's say that God comes to us in a vision and says, tell me what you need and I will give it to you. Well, I could use a new boat, a new truck, a new house, a new job, some extra steaks in the freezer to eat. So I could go in that direction. And what does that reveal about us? It reveals that we're conformed to the world around us rather than to the Word of God. But you'll notice how Solomon responded differently. Solomon responded much differently than what we would expect. He prayed for discernment. Now the model of prayer that I offer up to you is not one that I can take credit for. It's out there. You've probably seen it on Marquise. You've probably seen it on Billy Graham website, quite a few other places. But the model of prayer is called ACTS. And the model of prayer is called ACTS. I use this quite regularly whenever I'm praying our prayer on Sundays, whenever I'm praying for people, when I'm caught off guard that somebody says, hey, preacher, will you pray this prayer? I try to frame things pretty quickly using this model. And that model ACTS means adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So the first thing I do is offer up adoration for God. And we'll talk about what those means. Then I confess my own shortcomings. I give thanks to God for where he's been at work. And then, and it's only a small piece of it, but then I express to God what my needs are. Now to kind of give you an idea about how we traditionally pray, I'm going to ask you a question. How do we typically start out our prayers? Now I'll go ahead and throw this out there. My daughter called me out down at St. Paul in a very clear way this morning when I say, how do you start your prayers? How do we pray? And she says, Dear Heavenly Father. And I said, well, I said, you've got it right. That's how we start praying, Dear Heavenly Father, Mighty God, Jesus. I mean, we start out with the salutation. So go ahead and get that out of the way. What's the first part of prayer that we normally say? Oh God, I come to you today, and what do we do? We typically ask. We typically ask for things. We pray because we need something. We pray because we want something. We pray because we're in trouble, we're in a bind, or something is going on. So that's how we typically start out our prayers. So I want you to tie that into our spiritual maturity just for a second and think about that as Christians, how we grow more mature as Christians. Let's think about kids just for a second. When a kid wants something, what do? They ask. And they ask. And they ask. And they ask. And they ask again. And they keep asking until they get what they want. They keep asking until their parents are just so overwhelmed or so tired of hearing it that they want relief and they say, yes, you can have it or you can do it because they can't hear it anymore. And the kids keep asking until their parents forget that they had actually told them no a while back. Or they keep asking maybe a different parent until they get a different answer. Or they keep asking until they get to the point that they catch you at a weak point and you say yes. But they keep asking. And I found myself guilty of that a lot, that whenever I pray, that sometimes I'm just, Lord, I've got problems today. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do this. And I go on with my list. And then when I think about it later, I'm like, wow, where did I say thank you for what you've already done? All I did was ask, 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 and ask. Now, how would it be if your kid would come to you or your kids would come to you in the past and said, you know, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, Uncle, Well, you've really been good to me lately. And we know trouble's coming when we hear that. They're getting ready to tell you something they've done wrong or ask for something. But you've really been good to me. And I appreciate how you provide food for me and a house and you provide rules for me. And I admit, I've not cleaned my room. I've not followed the rules as much as I should, but I want to do better. And I'm thankful for the fact that you've given me structure in my life. And I want to ask you, would you help me to see the reason why this structure is important and help me to see the benefit of being obedient? Now, how would you as a parent, or if you're not a parent, how would you imagine that if your kids or a kid would come up to you and ask you in that fashion? Brothers and sisters, that's essentially what this model of prayer calls for, acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And that's what we see Solomon do in this encounter that he has with God in this dream. You see, as a body of Christ, as Christians, we believe in the power of prayer. We know our God hears our prayer. He answers our prayer according to His will and His time. We know that He hears those prayers prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son. In this passage of Scripture, what's happened is that Solomon, this young child Solomon, has just followed his father David into kingship. And as a young person, he is overwhelmed with the scope of what he's got to do. He's overwhelmed. He don't have any clue what to do next. So he prays for discernment of good and evil, that he may lead in a manner that is pleasing to God. And the only thing that I'll say about leadership here is how appropriate it is that, you know, November's not far away, and we're already starting to see the politician signs pop up. So when we think about the upcoming elections, when we think about the conflict, we mentioned our prayer on the Gaza Strip and Libya and Ukraine and Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. How awesome would it be if our leaders would just simply pray for discernment of what's good and evil, what's right and wrong, and for God's will to be carried out in their leadership. So back to the prayer for a minute. Enough on leadership. Adoration is praising God for what He has done and praising God for being our God, the God, and the only answer. It means to give God the glory and acknowledging God in all things good and acknowledging His presence as always being there. It means acknowledging and worshiping and giving Him all the credit for everything that is good in our lives. And what we see and how this prayer is modeled out, this encounter that Solomon has with the Lord, is when Solomon is approached by God, and God says, what do you need, basically? Solomon responds by showing adoration. And he does that by saying, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David. Because he walked for you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him, because he did this, a great and steadfast love. And you've given him a son, Solomon, to sit on this throne today. And then Solomon confesses his shortcomings. Now, granted, he's not confessing sin here, which is what we typically would do. But he's confessing why his need is what it is. I've got no clue how to be a leader. He says that I don't know how to come out or go in. In other words, I don't know what to do. And he goes on to say, and your servant in the midst of these people, your great people whom you've chosen, are so numerous, too numerous, and of too large a number to be counted. So he expresses where his weakness is, and then he goes on to reveal his thankfulness. And now, my Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, even though I am only a little child. So he's saying, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And in the place where he could get himself in trouble, he doesn't. Now we know he gets in trouble later, but right now he doesn't. When the Lord says, what is it that you need? Solomon shares his need. He didn't pray for riches. He didn't pray for a nice castle or a nice home or many wives or many kids. What Solomon prays for is, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern what is good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?
And then we see how God responds. God responds, and he's pleased. It pleased the Lord that Solomon asked. God said to him, because you have asked for this, and you've not asked for a long life or for riches, you've not asked me to kill your enemies, you have asked for understanding to discern what is right, I now will do according to your word. I indeed will give you a wise and discerning mind. So we see what happens is God responds with his grace and his mercy. And brothers and sisters, when we think about our own lives, that's really what we want. We want God's will in our lives. We want to respond in the way that pleases God. And we want to understand and we want to serve. So when we think about the title that I placed on the sermon this morning, so then what is it that you ask for? We remember first today that prayer is not built around our supplication, our need. Prayer is built around a lot of things. Acknowledging God, giving him thanks, confessing our sin, and also telling him what needs we have in our heart. Prayer involves a conversation with God, acknowledging his goodness, confessing our sin, giving our thanksgiving, and presenting our needs. So I would ask, do we pray for healing when we're sick? Or do we pray for God's healing in whatever shape that may be? And that may be much different than what we have in mind. Do we pray for a particular thing, maybe a new job, a new house, or a new car, or a new relationship? Or do we pray for God's will in everything? Do we pray, what you shared in prayer time this morning, do we pray for that new washing machine? Or do we pray, God, I have a need, will you take care of it? And obviously that happened. I mean, you said some people come forward in your life this week and made some things happen. God used them to fill a need in your life. But if we'd have been sitting there saying, well, I need this washing machine and it needs to be a Maytag, no older than this, 4.3 cubic foot, whatever. Well, God, you're setting yourself up that God's not going to answer that prayer. God answers every prayer, but he may not answer it the way that we see fit. Think back in your life. Maybe you have prayed for certain prayers and you have said, well, God didn't answer that prayer. My response to you is, or did he? Maybe you were praying for that lifelong mate. Maybe that person you met when you were 18 years old. You said, God, this is going to be my wife, or this is going to be my husband. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and that was going to be it. And they were not. Either because something happened later and you went your separate ways, or you ended up finding somebody else. Well, think about where you would have been if God would have answered the prayer the way that you had designed it. God knows what's best for us. And we go against his will, that's when we sometimes find ourselves in a pickle. God knows what's best for us. So praying for God's will is that important thing. Praying for God's will is the way that he hears our prayers most effectively. He will answer those prayers. One of the things that we do, and this may sound... I won't say it sounds harsh, but sounds maybe cold as a parent. When we pray for our daughter, and we do a lot, I mean, we first thank God for the healing that he has revealed and the miracles that he has performed up to this point. We thank him for the extra days that he has given us. We thank him for the memories that we have. And we pray for healing in accordance with his will, because he knows best. Now I know when I pray that prayer that healing may not be what I want it to be at some point in our lives. I know healing sometimes takes the shape of death. And that's a hard prayer to pray with your 9-year-old kid. But God knows what's best. We're left with a lot of questions in our lives, brothers and sisters. We're left with a lot of questions. When we lose loved ones, we ask why, and it hurts. But God knows what's best. And the scripture that I hold most close to my heart, above all else, is Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. Whenever I'm dealing with that possibility in my life, with family members, and when you lose people that you love, and just to paraphrase it, God knows the evil to come, And he often takes the righteous before their time, because he knows what's best. So brothers and sisters, when we pray, remember that God knows what's best. And we serve a God who loves us, and a God who's going to do the right thing, and a God that's never going to leave us, and a God that's always going to hear our prayers. Prayer is what we do. It's who we are. And it's something that we have to be intentional in. I offer this guide for prayer up to you today, not to say that you've been doing it all wrong. I offer it up only as another way to pray. To me, prayer is something that is continual. It starts when our feet hit the ground in the mornings, and it continues until our eyes close at night and we go to sleep. It's that conversation that you have with God all day. But when you have that need to fashion something and be very specific about what you're saying, I offer this up as an example. Because God is the one who holds the answers, and he hears our prayers. And we need to confess our shortcomings. Met up at annual conference this year, one of the preachers up there said, you know what, we can't make it to breakfast before we sin each day. We can't make it to breakfast before we sin. But we need to pray. So I say to you today that our God is a mighty God. Our God is an everlasting God. Our God is a loving God. And our God knows what's best. So today we say to God be the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.